I don't think anybody would think Randy Orton coming back and taking out Cody, and that leads to a feud leading into the fall. I don't think anybody would consider that a step down. I think people would be like, why? Why did Randy do that? Which is fine. I mean, listen, the people out there that just want to criticize WWE, they're still stuck on, why did Brock turn on Cody in the first place? Why did Brock never expect? Because Brock just felt like fucking with Cody.
He felt like, exactly. Yeah.
Bullies don't have plans. And
no, you don't have a tangible excuse. Why did Brock push fucking Zach Gowen down the steps? You know what I'm saying? Why did he fuck with a one-legged man? You know, why did Brock do a lot of things? I mean, I don't need an answer. I to tell you the truth, DT, there's a lot of feuds over the years.
I don't want a logical answer.
DT, I can't remember why Tommy Rich and Buzz Sawyer had that feud. I don't know what happened. I know that they feuded for a year in Atlanta.
Brock never explained why. Maybe when he writes a book one day, everyone.
Maybe he's saving it for the
book. You know what? DT. Guys, when Brock does one of those Undertaker things, those Q&As when he's 60 years old, on the stage, you could pay $250 and say, hey, Brock, how come you attacked Cody after WrestleMania?
DT, wouldn't it be great if Brock just said, you want to know why I attacked Cody? Because it's in the fucking script.
Because
Vince and Bruce wrote it.
Oh my God.
That would be pretty funny if Brock said
I stole Karrion Kross's tarot cards and Cody's card came up.
Exactly. I got scarred to read Tony's card. An excuse in wrestling is it's going to be scripted anyway. So what's the excuse?
I you know what? In hindsight, I wish Byron Saxton or somebody would have interviewed Brock and said, "Why did you attack Cody?" And he just looks at the camera because I felt like it.
Oh my God!
I felt like it. Better yet, because I don't like him.
I don't like him. Yeah, something like that. So simple.
I didn't like your father. I don't like you.
Someone wants,
I don't like
some
your brother.
Like,
I don't like anybody.
They think this is like Scream 6. Like there's some plot line. Like, why is the killer doing the
sports entertainment?
Overthinking it. And because he just didn't say, oh, is he jealous because Cody got pushed to the top card? Okay, yeah, let's go with that. Okay, yeah. I'm jealous.
You know what? Go to the SummerSlam press conference, the post media scrum, and ask Triple H. Hey, you know, we're still waiting for an answer. Why did Brock originally attack Cody? Oh my God.
Brock would probably go up his face and scream, Mark.
The Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle Show contains explicit language and is intended for mature audiences only. But just because you're mature doesn't mean you can't be a little naughty. Let's celebrate that we don't give a fuck. Let's celebrate that we don't care. Let's celebrate that we don't give a fuck. With the middle finger high in the air. Let's celebrate that we don't give a fuck. Take the night up past the buck.
SummerSlam 2023 is upon us, everyone. So that means the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle Show returns. This is your WWE SummerSlam preview, predictions, and then some. I am Don, Tony, and he is
Kev Castle. What's up, Ben?
Not much, Kev. You in the SummerSlam frame of mind? Are you pretty stoked for this lineup?
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked. And actually, someone had said to me that this is mine and yours' first major pay-per-view. Though we did do Money in the Bank, first of the big four, talking about it, first time in 3 years.
Yeah,
SummerSlam is one of the big ones. But some say SummerSlam is number two. I always say Mania, Rumble, SummerSlam, Survivor Series. But a lot of people consider SummerSlam right next to Mania and then Rumble, and then last place is always Survivor Series out of the big four.
You want to know something? For many, 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 many years, I agree with that sentiment. But I actually put SummerSlam number two now because Royal Rumble, it really comes down to two matches every year. And up until not too long ago, was one match to remember every year, and that's the Rumble match. Like everything else, not saying that everything else would not be so great on the show, but you look at Royal Rumble events over the years, we always focus just on the Battle Royal, you know, the over-the-top Royal Rumble. A lot of the singular matches get lost, you know, in the shuffle. So that's why, for me right now, I put SummerSlam number two next to WrestleMania. And, you know, you look online and you see people, there's no such thing as four main events. This lineup is solid from top to bottom. I really don't see a bad match scheduled on this card. So what we did, everyone, before we get into our predictions and then some, I pulled up SummerSlam from a year ago. I pulled it up from 5 years ago. And I pulled it up from 10 years ago. Now, last year, it's still fresh in a lot of our memories. Obviously, the crazy match with Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns is what we always remember. I think the reason why we're looking at last year's SummerSlam is because last year they only had two matches on the women's matches on the card as well. 25% of the matches, two out of eight. It was Bianca over Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan over Ronda Rousey. And that was the match where Liv Morgan tapped when Ronda Rousey inadvertently got pinned, and that kind of hurt Liv Morgan's momentum a little bit because the champion shouldn't have tapped. But going back 5 years ago, we actually had 10 matches plus three pre-show matches. So I'll just give the main show results so people could get an idea as far as how much has and has not changed within WWE. But 5 years ago, SummerSlam, we had Seth Rollins beating Dolph Ziggler to become the Intercontinental Champion. We had the New Day of Xavier Woods and Big E defeat the Bludgeon Brothers to win the tag team titles. Braun Strowman beat Kevin Owens in a Money in the Bank contract match in less than 2 minutes. Charlotte Flair beat Becky and Carmella in a three-way to win the Women's Championship. Samoa Joe beat AJ Styles by DQ, so AJ Styles still remains the WWE champion. Miz over Daniel Bryan in a 25-minute match that I don't seem to remember for some reason.
I don't remember at all. Yeah.
Nah. Finn Balor as the Demon beat Baron Corbin in 90 seconds. Nakamura retains the United States title over Jeff Hardy. Ronda Rousey beats Alexa Bliss to win the Raw Women's Championship. And the main event, 5 years ago, not last year, Roman Reigns defeats Brock Lesnar to win the Universal Championship.
Oh.
So 1 year ago, we had Reigns and Brock. Last year, well, actually, no, that was last year. What am I saying? I did say 5 years ago. That was a year ago. So now we go 5 years. No, wait a minute. That was 5 years ago. I'm confusing myself. Yes, Kev, Brock and Roman, 1 year ago and 5 years ago at SummerSlam.
Wow.
Yep.
And last SummerSlam was the match where they pulled up the ring.
Yes, right, that was last year.
A year ago already. A couple weeks.
How crazy is that?
You passed already, actually, because it was July last year. Wow.
Uh-huh. So now we go today. Sure. Now we go back 10 years. And 10 years ago, they had eight matches for SummerSlam, similar to ours. But technically, it was seven because one match only was 8 seconds long. So 10 years ago, SummerSlam had Bray Wyatt beating Kane in a Ring of Fire match. We had Cody Rhodes beating Damian Sandow. Alberto Del Rio retains the World Heavyweight Championship, defeating Christian. Natalya beat Brie Bella, and I think this might have been like a Total Divas type of match thing. Yeah. I think so. Brock Lesnar over CM Punk in an ODQ match that went 25 minutes. Dolph Ziggler and Caitlyn over Big E and AJ Lee in a mixed tag match.
Wow.
Daniel Bryan over John Cena with Triple H as a special guest referee to win the WWE Championship. And then Randy Orton came out with the Money in the Bank briefcase, cashed it in, and beat Daniel Bryan 8 seconds later.
Wow. That's yeah, it's amazing how much time has gone by. Yep. And
10 years
Natty's
ago.
Natty's still here.
Yeah, she's still here. She's still, you know, it's funny, like a couple of months ago, WWE's doing her dirty and she might pack it up and she doesn't know where the future's going to be. And people didn't realize it was just nothing but storyline. She lost the match. Now she's back to winning, like, main event. And, you know, it's nothing's changed. Natty is obviously in the latter part of her career. She'll be a trainer. She'll do matches here and there. I mean,
yeah, like her husband TJ. She'll be behind the scenes, like he is. It was funny. I was watching Main Event for the first time the other day, just for the fuck of it. Mm-hmm. I came across Main Event and I saw someone who I was wondering where she was, because talking about Natty getting a win.
Yeah,
Natty got a win over Xia Li.
Yes,
Xia Li was on Main Event. I'm like, oh, there she is. I you know, she's still doing the entrance with the karate and everything, but just no response. DT.
It's a shame.
Fans just don't. Are indifferent to Xia Li. They're just indifferent to her.
She's going back to NXT. I see it. She has to go back to NXT. And even there, I mean, I don't know how much you could do with her, especially with them doing so much Tiffy time right now. So,
yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah. So we got SummerSlam this Saturday, and we have 8 matches lined up. Now, as far as the SummerSlam Battle Royal, I guess we could kick off with predictions on this. The only entrance announced as of right now is Alpha Academy, Tommaso Ciampa, Shinsuke Nakamura, Sheamus, and LA Knight. Honestly, right. They could have 100 people in this Battle Royal. I think you have to. You cannot fuck this guy over anymore. You have to give this guy the high-profile SummerSlam win. And usually when we get these Battle Royals and premium live events, they're usually just a hot mess. You know, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royals, I think, were also hot messes. But I think if LA Knight wins this, everybody is content. No matter how caca the match is or how rushed it will be, I'm going with LA Knight. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you got to give at least this to LA Knight. In the Battle Royal, there could be all sorts of chicanery. So even if WWE doesn't want to make it a strong win, they can make it like a shady, shifty win where he does something. Because from what I understand, DT, he is supposed to be a heel. Though last week, if you could have fooled me, he was a babyface.
Yep.
With last week's, the way he entranced, the promo he cut. Insulting the talent in the ring, not the people. He's pandering to the people in the audience, not insulting them. So it's not like an MJF where it's like, I'm luring you in to let you think I'm changing my ways, but fuck you. LA Knight is embracing babyfaceness, but they still have him listed as a heel.
Yes.
So I don't know if they... So if he gets a heelish win in the Royal Rumble, so I guess they're technically still making me... I don't know what goes on behind the scenes. I hear Vince does like him. I hear that it's not true that Vince doesn't like him. I think Vince said it's almost like the Mets. You know, they're concerned about the age and building with future with younger people. And I understand that. He's going to be, LA Knight's going to be 41 in a couple of months. So is Damian Priest, by the way. Damian Priest actually turns 41 before LA Knight this year. But I don't know, man. I'm not, we don't know what's going on back there. Everyone likes to make like LA Knight's being held back. I think they're being very calculated with LA Knight. I think. But this will be the time where everybody gets what they want. I agree with you, DT. I don't even know who else they would give it to. If I wanted to do a backup guy, Chad Gable, maybe. Chad. I don't know, as a backup guy, maybe.
Maybe Austin Theory eliminates. Maybe Austin Theory eliminates LA Knight.
Yeah, if Austin Theory wins it, I think God, there's going to be like a real. Listen, no one's going to boycott and not watch anymore. But the complaint department, DT, will be open for business on Twitter. If Austin Theory wins and LA Knight doesn't win, I do get a sick, perverted kick out of people getting upset about it. But in all seriousness, as a wrestling fan and wanting this to go the way it should, I want LA Knight to win.
Yeah, and you know, I'm going to say this. I mean, I think people sometimes have to take a little bit of a chill pill. That, you know, this is not, and I'm not trying to compare it to AEW, but one style about AEW that a lot of people do like is what you watch on TV is more about the now. it's like, you know, the storylines overall are not extremely solid, but you're getting like good quality matches now. It's almost like indie wrestling events. Like, you're not going with the idea that something's going to build for 6 months. You're going to enjoy the now, have a good time, get good quality wrestling, get, you know, matches bundled together in a week's notice without any and that's a good formula for the now. That's no complaints with that at all. With WWE, I think people need to take a chill pill and realize the Bloodline is controlling SummerSlam. That is the audience. On Raw, it's really about Seth Rollins and Judgment Day more than anything else. You know, and in the process, you know, some people are getting some nice little rubs out of it. But with LA Knight, even if they would have pushed him further, you know, the only championship that he would have possibly have been given is the United States title. And why rush that feud and bury it when the Bloodline is the dominating topic of discussion? So, you know, maybe a little better late than never. But I'm totally fine. And LA Knight right now, little shades of maybe 1998 Steve Austin, when Steve Austin was still a clear-cut heel. And then still, the difference was he was stunning heels. You know, he was being put in the ring more with heels than anything else. And that's why he slowly turned in the perception of being a babyface. So, you know, WWE is having him go in the ring and stun Hit Row. They're not having him go in the ring and stun an Uso. You know what I mean? So they're having him have confrontations with heels now for the most part. The four-way, you really couldn't control because didn't matter who's babyface or heels. He was just a singular person. But LA Knight, and as far as the reports that, you know, he's not in the good graces and this and that, listen, it's all about perception. Because now you're getting a lot of the C-list wrestling news sites talking about Matt Riddle and saying, oh, the WWE perception, the viewpoint is they're not high on Matt Riddle. And ever since he took time off for various reasons that they haven't looked at him the same, they're just basing that on how he's used on TV.
Exactly, DT. They've done that with our friend Cross. They're making assumptions of how him and Scarlett are perceived in the back. And it's completely
problematic.
Yes. There's nothing factual about that at all. And somewhere along the lines, me and you doing this, you longer than even me, 20, 25 years, you know, there used to be facts mattered.
Yes.
You know, and now, have you ever seen anything like this in the last 3 to 5 years where void of facts is not a problem? It's not a problem for most shows, let alone websites.
Yeah, I've come to terms that this clickbait perception interpreted as news isn't going to go away anytime soon. And the only way that really starts to go away is the people in the masses don't give into it. I mean, right. But, you know, people want to be titillated. People want to gossip. And that's why it dominates. You know, the clickbait is dominating. And believe me, even when you talk about Bray Wyatt, I mean, it's been 7 months that Bray Wyatt's return is imminent. You know, it happened again 4 weeks ago. And then I don't forget the Zero News. Oh, you know, Cody Brock 3 is going to be a major gimmick match. And he might be bringing back the bull rope match from AEW. And these are the same people that 6 weeks ago said Bray Wyatt's return is imminent. 2 months ago, Bray Wyatt's return is imminent. It's all about perception. When LA Knight starts stringing a couple of victories together on TV, then you'll get the same news reporters saying that reports are is that backstage is very, very happy with LA Knight. And LA Knight seems to be getting along with everybody in management. And, you know, looks like that the quarter has turned for LA Knight. And, you know, he is not the same guy that he was in Impact Wrestling when it's all about perception.
Again, it's all just basically saying, hoping that people retweet it and it gets out as truth in the narrative. And that's why if a guy like you or even other people, even if you have a bigger platform than we do, says the opposite, they're like, that's not what I heard. Look, and then they'll show you caps of other people posting the opposite of what you're saying. You're like, but that's just rumor mongering. There's no basis of facts to that. I can't even tell you. I know you don't bother to do it anymore, DT, but you suspend a ridiculous amount of time debating people online over stuff that is just nonsensical.
I know.
You know what I mean? I don't do it anymore.
You know what a massive turning point was? I think it was Ringside News. They reported that AJ Styles turned down the most recent WWE contract. They actually reported online AJ Styles himself personally contacted the writer and the website that reported that and told them, they said, listen, you know, why don't you ask me directly? And I'm telling you that I haven't, you know, received the contract yet, and what you're reporting is not true. They never cleared up their story. So he went public and wrote it and said that, you know, what they wrote is not true. And the author of the article says to AJ Styles, I stand by my story. My sources tell me otherwise. Calling AJ Styles a liar.
Arrogant. Well, same people, DT, who said, don't be surprised to see Drew McIntyre pop up at All In. I'm like, he's not going anywhere. He's never even said that he might want to leave WWE. He's never said that. Now he's back. And now that story just went away. But that narrative was out a couple of months ago. People tell me, Drew McIntyre is not coming back. If he can't get the title or be the champion, he's not coming back. When did he say that? I didn't see him ever say that. When did he ever say that?
The most recent great one is that WWE had a massive hiring freeze because of the Endeavor deal, and now, you know, all the reports are is that WWE, if they want someone, they'll go out and get them, and there's really not a hiring freeze. Like, oh, shut fuck up.
It's so stupid.
Yeah, so you can't base this stuff online because it's all perception. But LA Knight, I think we all agree, he's got to get this win. Especially that environment, how many people are going to be there? I mean, I don't know how many people. Is it 40, 50,000 it might be? 30,000? Whatever it is. Ford Field. So it's got to be 50,000. So we're going with LA Knight. Mm-hmm. Now, I got to be honest with you. This match intrigues me. I talked about it yesterday a little bit. I can't believe how much of a 180 I have done on this match because of a stipulation, and it's a stipulation that I'm not even a fan of. Ronda Rousey versus Shayna Baszler.
I'm going,
It is now going to be MMA rules.
Wow.
And I don't follow UFC. I don't watch MMA. I'm not a fan of it. I don't have any problem with it. But now this match intrigues the fuck out of me because, you know, you hear the rumors that Ronda Rousey may be leaving. Shayna Baszler eats, sleeps, and shits wrestling. And you start thinking to yourself, like, you know, we got Endeavor and WWE merging.
Yeah.
And I don't think, and I really mean this when I say this, I don't think in Vince McMahon or anybody within WWE's right mind would turn around and try to create sports entertainment out of the MMA stuff, because the one thing that UFC and MMA over the years, they have stayed away from is scripting matches. You know, so I don't think, especially if they're merging together, could you imagine the UFC, the MMA community, if this turns out to be a scripted MMA match? I think WWE would get ripped apart. What do you think about this match?
What I think they need to do is similar to, what was the Lion's Den match they had, DT,
back Ken
in the
Shamrock
90s?
And Owen Hart? And,
Blackman, Steve Blackman.
Oh, Steve Blackman, okay.
Yeah, Blackman and Shamrock, two legitimate guys. Now, Blackman, I don't believe ever competed in the octagon, but he competed in judo and jiu-jitsu matches and won. He was a legitimate black belt, I think, like the highest degree black belt. So, you know, that Lion's Den match I thought was pretty good. And listen, they used a lot of weapons in that, you know, that was their thing. But they can do something like that. Two legitimate guys. They pulled that off. I don't remember. I mean, maybe you remember how we weren't doing the podcast then. You might have been already doing some stuff in that period in the late 90s. But I don't remember anybody really heavily criticized. I know some of the critics didn't like it, but I think the fans enjoyed it. And I saw that not too long ago recently. I watched that match again. It was pretty good, DT. And I think they could pull off something like that, kind of like mix a little bit of it in, integrate some of their background training and stuff that would be in the octagon, but keep it wrestling related too. Maybe have some weaponry and stuff like that. But this match, I think they're saying is MMA rules, so I guess they can't use the weapons like they did in the Lions Den,
right,
where they use the nunchucks and they use the kendo stick. They use it a lot because remember Blackman and Ken Shamrock were lumped up. I mean, they had lumps all over their bodies from getting hit with the weapons. I wish they would do something like that. Then they probably couldn't be heavily criticized. But I'm not sure now. Like, I watch MMA, UFC infrequently. Of course, I watch the CM Punk matches. I watch when Brock Lesnar fought. But other than that, I'm not a frequent. So that's when someone tells me about, like, who's the hottest person in there. I probably never heard of him or her. Mm. So I don't know how far they're willing to go with this. Or maybe, do you think, is it feasible that Rhonda and Shayna said, listen, let's take this as far as we can go. Even we potato each other. Let's really, I don't care if I come out with a busted up lip, busted up eyebrow. Let's really lay it into each other as much as they will allow. So you think there's some sort of arrangement where, no, we're going to make this look good, do you think it's going to be some fluff thing or some quick knockout where Rhonda catches her with a spinning elbow or something like that and the referee stops it?
Or maybe it'll be like after the movie Rocky III where Rocky and Apollo are in the empty building and they go ding, ding, and they actually like
spot. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, something like that. But the thing with the lines they match is those weapons hidden in the cage, if you remember.
Sure.
Yeah, I thought that was a really good display of two legitimate tough guys who I think, maybe took a little liberties with each other, but maybe agreed to it because that's what they wanted to show people. I don't know, Fronda. Listen, how far can they let this go, DT? I mean, is so PG that we might not see blood or
that's a very good point.
Someone have a big busted eye. And I'm just thinking, this is Rhonda's last stand. Do you think maybe Rhonda wants to go out in a blaze of glory and not really caring if she gets hurt or puts a mouse under Shayna's eye and they agree to it? Listen, we stiff each other, Let's go for it.
I this is how I look at it. I think that because of the Endeavor deal, they definitely want the UFC interest in this match, and I don't think they're going to do anything to embarrass UFC. My gut feeling is this. My gut feeling is that Ronda Rousey is indifferent whether she wins or loses as far as her WWE future goes. I'm sure, look, anybody doesn't want to lose, but I get this gut feeling that what could happen in this, and I'm not trying to compare it to this match, but people will understand why I use this example. Mr. T versus Roddy Piper in a boxing match.
Yes.
That if Shayna Baszler starts getting the upper hand, Ronda Rousey may turn around and just hit Shayna Baszler with a low blow, a nut shot, or do a wrestling move. Remember when Roddy Piper, I think, body slammed Mr. T? So I think I could see Ronda Rousey, doing something that she's not supposed to, and that ends in a disqualification. So the fans, I don't think, will like it. It doesn't necessarily embarrass UFC. It's not like the fighting itself is not scripted, but I think that if Shayna Baszler starts to get the upper hand, then maybe the deal is that Ronda Rousey nails her with a low blow, gets disqualified, and that's it. I personally think Shayna Baszler needs to come out on top on this one. No matter how the outcome is, I got to go with Shayna Baszler on this one.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm going to go with Shayna Baszler, too. Because I think this is Ronda's I think it's Ronda's last match. It's nothing been announced. I'm just saying I think this is her last hurrah and put her friend over on the way out. I'm going to say, too, I think look for something very interesting to happen in this match. Matter of fact, I'm even going to say she beats her and then they embrace in a hug. This was a very mad at each other for now type of thing. And Ronda goes out with an ovation because she hugs Shayna or admits Shayna's the better woman, raises her hand. And there's a emotional moment. Do you predict some sort of emotional moment?
If it's a straight up clean MMA fight with no fuckery at the end, I could see that getting very emotional, a hug, and, the crowd cheers and everything. And not only that, the last month, I got to admit, this storyline with Ronda and Shayna is good.
Yeah.
It's good, and Ronda's not been bad in this. I mean, I'm looking forward to this a lot more than I thought I would.
I agree, and it's kind of hard to tell if you watch both of their recent promos. Who's actually really the heel, or are they both heelish?
Yeah.
I don't think either one's a baby. I don't think Shayna's in a baby face at all. I think they're both. I think we're watching two kind of gray area heels and the crowd will dictate, and everyone's like, oh, there's no way. I don't know if people think, because they're like, oh, remember when they got wind of Brock and Goldberg leaving and yeah. everyone's the na-na goodbye. I don't know if the crowd has that much animus for Ronda Rousey. I don't listen. They might not react to her the way they should have, but I don't know if she's going to get booed out of the building. I'm on the fence about that because I think fans are going by, as me and DT talked about before, going by what they're seeing, like the rumor mongering on Twitter. Well, rumor is Ronda can't wait to get out of there, and the fans are going to give it to her. I wouldn't be surprised if the fans give both ladies a good ovation because yeah. a lot of people wanted to see. It's kind of a dream match when you think about it,
yeah.
DT, right?
Yeah. And you yes. know what? If Ronda does take time off, this is the perfect way for her to go out.
In an MMA
rules match against her, one of her best friends.
Yeah, and listen, people can say, listen, she was lackadaisical in this run. Her first run was so good and for the women, and she did things of epic proportions in her first run. This is so lackluster. This return has been mediocre in the best word.
Yeah,
it's true, but I don't know. I'm not on board with she deserves to be booed out of the building. I'm not on board with that. I'll just say, listen, maybe being a mother didn't work out. Maybe her mind is on her kid. Maybe her mind's being at home. Maybe her heart wasn't really into it that much this go around. It just didn't work out. People, you know, have gone to other sports teams, made comebacks, didn't work out. But I think it was even unfair to compare her first run. This wasn't a good second run, but maybe she can at least go out in a good way. Yeah. They definitely have the opportunity to on Saturday, and I think they will. I think that she might get a decent reaction. I think there's going to be some sort of moment where she endorses and embraces Shayna. And they get a nice crowd pop. That's my prediction. I don't think she gets booed and walks out and gives the middle finger to the crowd. And you know, she's always resented the fans. Some guy who was saying on their podcast the other day, no names mentioned. I don't know about all that. I don't know if she always. I think she resents some fans. Fans who are dicks to her. She probably resents.
Right? The trolls online, the ones that got pissed off at her because she had a big food freezer filled with deer meat.
Yeah, there's people who don't like her, but I don't think her middle finger is to the whole WWE universe. I think it's to the people who dislike her.
Yep.
You know, and that's a natural reaction. Just like, you know, when Seth used to have his problems online, people, he wasn't saying all the fans. He was talking about specific fans who were bothering him and his wife. To me, with the position they're in, they should have thicker skin. I don't know, man. Does anybody have thicker skin anymore? DT, I haven't seen an example of thicker skin in quite a long time.
I know. Well, we both agree Shayna Baszler should come out on top in this one.
Yeah, Shayna Baszler on top in some sort of moment to cap it off.
Okay. Next, we have Gunther defending the Intercontinental Championship against Drew McIntyre. Now, again, before we discuss what we probably both agree is the outcome of this match, some noteworthy stats that I think everybody should know that Gunther just passed the Macho Man Randy Savage. He is now third on the all-time list as the Intercontinental Champion. It's right around 415, 416 days around there. And that means in less than 2 weeks, if Gunther retains the title, he will surpass Pedro Morales, who is at 424 days as number two on the list of the longest reigning champ of all time. And if he passes Pedro Morales, then the magic day is September 7th. September 7th would be the day that Gunther passes the Honky Tonk Man's record of 453 days, and he becomes the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of all time. Kev, September 7th is only 5 weeks away. Do you think Gunther retains the Intercontinental Championship, or does Vince keep the record for the Honky Tonk Man and has Gunther lose to the Claymore?
I've been mulling this over because I'm thinking, no, they WWE is all about records right now, not just with Reigns, but some of their other people. That's why they let Bianca, you know, break the record for the individual for women. I don't think you'll see that record change anytime soon. Reigns, obviously, in our lifetime, we're not going to see anything like this with Reigns. Intercontinental, a little bit of a different story. I know McIntyre probably has his name on that belt as Gunther becomes a title contender, I think, for a bigger championship, being either the one that Seth has or the one Roman has or whoever beats Roman, which I still think is going to be Cody. That's another story. But I'm still going to go with Gunther. I think Drew gets that belt on another pay-per-view, whether, yeah, you know, I don't know the tweener pay-per-view in between this and Survivor Series, whatever that is, but there'll be a rematch. Mm-hmm. I think Gunther retains here, beats the Honky Tonk Man's record, and then loses down the road to Drew in a second or third match. But this one, Gunther wins, and maybe by some sort of chicanery.
Well, you know what? I just realized something. I saw it this morning. Now, we're recording this on Tuesday, August 1st, but I saw this morning, and the reason why it caught my eye, and I will put the picture on our Discord, Patreon Discord, because we are streaming this live right now for our Patreon family. This pay-per-view premium live event poster popped up. And the reason why it caught my eye was because this is for Saudi Arabia. WWE is returning to Saudi Arabia. Well, actually, they're going to India. Excuse me, not Saudi Arabia. They're going to India on Friday, September 8th. What I found very interesting about it is if you look at the clothing of Rhea Ripley and Natalya, like, they're actually showing some skin. So I don't know what the dress, you know, is as far as India, because in Saudi Arabia, obviously, you got even the graphics, they have to be completely covered. But the reason why I find this very interesting is this would be 24 hours after Gunther becomes the longest reigning intercontinental champion of all time.
Right.
Maybe Drew McIntyre defeats Gunther on Friday, September 8th for Superstar Spectacle. Gunther has the record, but Drew McIntyre becomes the champion.
That's not bad. That can happen. That's a possibility.
Yeah, I personally think Gunther will have it longer. I think his reign, there's no reason to take the title off him right now. I think Drew McIntyre realizes this. I personally can't picture, and I think you'll agree with me with this. You know, when you heard a lot of the stuff floating around about Drew, some of it was true, but a lot of it was heavily exaggerated to entice people to clickbait. But I can't picture Drew coming back, and part of the deal is, you know, I must become the Intercontinental Champion. You know, like, I can't picture, like, that is an absolute must in order to make him happy. You know what I mean? As long as he's being used and he's put in a high-profile position, you know, I think Gunther holds on to this title for an extended period of time. I think he passes Honky Tonk Man. I think he passes 500 days. I think Gunther goes into the winter because this is one thing that I think a lot of people never think about with Gunther, and it's always on my mind. As long as Gunther remains Intercontinental Champion, you don't hear much people saying that Gunther should be taking on Seth for that title right now, or Gunther eventually should take on Roman Reigns. Like, as long as Gunther has this championship, like, okay, Gunther's in a different division, a different league, a different part of the Raw roster, so he has a title. So people don't focus too much on Seth Rollins. They leave Seth alone because Gunther has his title and he has his reign. The minute Gunther loses that championship, people are going to be like, look at Wesley in NXT. We were talking about it on Sunday with the Great American Bash. Like, we were trying to figure out who is Carmelo Hayes going to feud with next. And by just, you know, elimination, one of the names that we kept talking about was Wesley, because it's like, okay, Wesley did not regain the title from Dominic. It seems like they're going to move on from Dominic for Wesley. So what do? You immediately start thinking, oh, Carmelo Hayes. Even though I think Carmelo Hayes, Trick Williams, is going to be the match, you know, for the fall. Yeah. But I think as long as Gunther remains Intercontinental Champion, the pressure of having Gunther feud with Seth stays away. And I think WWE wants to keep it that way for a little while.
Yeah, no, I agree with you totally. That's a very good analogy.
So, yeah, so I think so far, we are in total agreement with the first three matches with our choices. So, Gunther, do we both agree, retains the IC Championship?
Yes.
All right. Next, Ricochet takes on Logan Paul. Now, this may be the opening match. I was told he's going to be the first or the second. Logan Paul has made it public that he would like to leave early so he could walk the aisle with his brother, Jake Paul, who is having a match against Nate Diaz. Right. So this will be on early. But even this match, I mean, Ricochet and Logan Paul, make some nice music together. And they intensified it a little bit on Monday, where Logan Paul actually started bringing up Ricochet being engaged to, what's her name, Samantha Irvin. I tell you, I'm looking forward to it. I think Logan Paul is finally starting to realize that he is a full-blown heel. And he can't be partially praising the people who are live in attendance, because he was doing that up until 2-3 weeks ago. But I like Logan Paul as the heel, which is what they should have done a while ago. But this match, I'm kind of intrigued. I feel like Ricochet needs a high-profile win here. Although Logan Paul, you know, him winning and going into his brother's match as a winner of SummerSlam earlier in the day. Where do you feel, where are you on this match? You going with Ricochet or Logan Paul?
I think it's a good matchup. I, you know, Ricochet, a lot of people say Ricochet really needs the win more than Logan Paul.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of agree with that. I think, you know, they do have an investment in Logan Paul, but everyone's like, well, what about the investment in Ricochet, who's been a loyal soldier to this company for a long time? He has. And finally getting his day in the sun, and maybe can win the big one on a pay-per-view. This is a toss-up to me. I'd love to see Ricochet win, but I'm gonna go with Logan Paul.
Okay.
And I think it's gonna be some sort of cheating thing, heelish garbage, so Ricochet can at least look good and maybe ask for a rematch or say, you didn't really beat me. I think it's going to be some heelish chicanery. So this way, Ricochet saves face and could always say, you only beat me because of such and such, and a rematch happens. If they have a real banger of a match, I think that they will do a series.
Well, as we're talking right now, I am pulling up Logan Paul's pro wrestling record. And I think this may surprise a lot of people out there. Logan Paul in singles competition for the WWE has had 5 matches. Actually, I shouldn't say, you know, it's not fair to say singles competition, because we got the Royal Rumble, we have Money in the Bank, you had WrestleMania where he teamed up with The Miz. So he has had officially 6 matches with WWE. He is 2-4. Outside of the tag team match with The Miz, he is 1-4. His only win is against The Miz. He lost the Royal Rumble, obviously. He lost against Seth Rollins. He lost against Roman Reigns. And he lost Money in the Bank. I have a feeling I'm going with Ricochet. This is going to be the first match where we disagree. But I get this weird feeling that Logan Paul is going to nutshot Ricochet, little low blow, get disqualified. And then maybe Ricochet gets the upper hand and, you know, Logan Paul retreats. I'm going to go with Ricochet to win, but I would not be surprised if it's a disqualification.
Okay, that's fair enough.
You know, I think Logan Paul will probably tease Samantha Irvin a little bit, which, you know, maybe Samantha Irvin gets to slap him. Maybe he goes to, you know, I could picture him live streaming, bringing the phone right to ringside, and he gets at Samantha Irvin's face, and he's live streaming, doing a selfie, and she smacks him right in the fucking face.
I can see that too. I think maybe Samantha Irvin can play into it. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Samantha Irvin. I like her.
Oh, me too. I like her too.
You know, it's not, and it's not even just, you know, the visual. I mean, she's a beautiful woman, but, you know, she just puts so much effort. And, you know, it's funny because when you think back to Howard Finkel and you think back to, what's her face, Lillian Garcia, those two especially, I'm kind of surprised that they never were animated towards individual wrestlers a little bit more. I mean, yeah, Hulk Hogan, there would be a little bit more energy. And, you know, listen, who was the announcer when John Cena? John Cena!
I can't remember.
You know, well, even the guy, Justin Roberts, he used to do it a little bit. But Samantha Irvin is very, very creative with the name introductions, and WWE lets her do it, which is good. The Chelsea Green one gets me every time.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
But, yeah, so I'm going to go with Ricochet, but Logan Paul gets himself disqualified. I think he sees the writing on the wall that he may lose, little low blow, disqualification. Fans are pissed, but Ricochet gets the upper hand. Logan Paul, chicken shit, gets out of Dodge, and, you know, we go on.
Yep.
All right. Now, before we talk about Asuka versus Charlotte Flair versus Bianca Belair, I talked about this yesterday. And, you know, unfortunately, what I feared was going to happen did happen. People are ignoring the facts as to why Becky Lynch and Trish Stratus is not happening at SummerSlam. Trish legitimately has a nose injury. It's affecting her breathing a little bit. Not major, but WWE felt that give it a couple extra weeks so the match is not happening at SummerSlam. For the last 24 hours, you just see the people looking for attention. Oh, you know, that's fucked up. They took the match off of SummerSlam, and why are they doing that? Is that they just are avoiding the reason behind it. But as we said earlier, last year at SummerSlam, there was only two women's matches on the card. And if you go back to 5 years ago, there was only two women's matches on the card. You know, you go back 10 years ago, there was only two women's matches on the card. Rhea Ripley, I'm kind of pissed off. Who knows? Maybe Rhea Ripley ends up in the SummerSlam Battle Royal.
It could be. That's a good possibility.
You know what? What do you think about Rhea Ripley winning the Battle Royal? That she ends up throwing.
No, that I don't. I don't think. She's not China. She's not China.
Yeah. All right. Oscar versus Charlotte Flair versus Bianca Belair. Triple threat match for the WWE Women's Championship. Oscar is the current champion. Kev, who you going with?
I'm going with Oscar to lose to one or the other. I'm going to go with Bianca Belair, but I wouldn't be surprised if Charlotte got it. But to put my money on somebody, I'm going to go with Bianca to get the title back. I think Oscar is just a placeholder. I don't think she's retaining that title for what. I think Charlotte or Bianca are going to get it because that's the feud. Money is in that feud right there. Oscar's just the third wheel who happens to be champion for the moment.
All right. Do you think we're going to get any cash in from Io Sky?
Ortiz? I could see a possibility where, let me give you another possibility of a scenario where Charlotte and Bianca are so about getting after each other that Asuka does pull out the win.
That's where I'm
going. Bianca and Charlotte get out ringside, or maybe even brawl in the crowd. Asuka's there watching. Here comes Io Sky to cash in, and Asuka's ill prepared, and Io Sky wins the title. That can be very interesting. And SummerSlam is full of those kind of surprises over the years. So maybe I still am going to go with Bianca Belair. But just as a side note, fantasy booking, let's call it my version of fantasy booking, that happens. That Io Sky catches Asuka when she's just thinking she's free and clear because the other two. I do believe that Bianca and Charlotte, you probably believe it too, though, DT, that this is just the beginning of a rest of the year feud for those two ladies.
Yes, that's why I'm going with Asuka to retain. Okay. I think Charlotte Flair and Bianca Belair will fuck each other's chances of winning. I think Asuka will squeak out a win, and this will lead to Charlotte Flair and Bianca Belair having a feud going into the fall of this year. And the reason why I think they're going to go that way is because by having Charlotte and Bianca feuding, the focus of the women's championship is off both women. I have nothing against people who root for Bianca to become a champion again or even Charlotte. But I say this, Bianca Belair just made history. She held the title for over a year. I mean, is that not enough? I mean, does she have, like, she lost the title, you know, at Mania, and, well, not Mania, but shortly thereafter it, and she had a record run. Why the rush that she's got to be chanting? That's why when they tried to use a little reality in the early weeks of Charlotte and Bianca's recent friction, right. Charlotte made a comment to Bianca and said, you know, like, you need the title. Like, Bianca, she's nothing without the title.
Right.
And that got under Bianca's skin. So by having Bianca and Charlotte feud, it keeps the focus off of them as far as the title. I have a feeling Io Sky may not happen at SummerSlam. I think Io Sky is going to fail at cashing in the briefcase. I think she is going to attempt to cash in the briefcase, whether it's SummerSlam or another day, and Bayley's going to fuck it up. Bayley is going to cost Io the briefcase, and Io turns full-blown babyface. Then Io feuds with Asuka for the championship. I don't think Io needs the briefcase to become women's champion. I think Bayley will fuck Io Sky, not maybe intentional, maybe unintentional, but I think once that briefcase is off Io Sky, then Io Sky could go for the championship. I know that kind of sounds a little ass backwards to people, but I think the briefcase is what's going to split Bayley and Io Sky in the end.
Yeah, and there's all sorts of scenarios that can happen. I mean, you know, that's what it's all about. I think as long as it's an interesting outcome and it breaks out into two different feuds, like I said, Bianca can, and Io Sky and Asuka, I think that's one of those dream matches too, like the way Shayna and Ronda match up. Asuka and Io match up, and I think, again, then you get some interesting women feuds. You're not just relying on one women, and we'll talk about it because there's a few women's matches on this card. Becky and Trish, which I find disinteresting. I find the Bianca Charlotte feud interesting, and I find the potential of, obviously, anybody who's really, you know, into NXT history, you want to see an Io Sky Asuka matchup. I think it's, you know, honestly, the old guard and the young guard kind of thing. There's a lot of good things that can come out of SummerSlam.
Yeah, I think so. And you know what? Also, by WWE holding off on Trish and Becky for two more weeks, it allows Asuka, Charlotte, and Bianca to stand out a little bit more, especially when you look back at the annals of history. I think this match, you know, especially this is the only women's championship match on the card.
Right.
I think it gives it a little bit more attention on it. And it is solid. You're talking about three of the top women in the last 15 years?
I think I was just going to say, because that news came out, what, today, that they're not going to have that match on the SummerSlam card. But DT, was it because of too many women on the match, like kind of polluting the card too much with like and taking the shine off of some things? They had to make a decision? Or was it they're not feeling this feud and didn't like the crowd responses in the live arenas, and this was, out of all the matches to cut or take off the card, it would be this one?
They wanted to give Trish, mainly they wanted to give Trish a little bit more time to heal her nose.
Is that true?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. They really wanted to give her a little more time to heal her nose, and they didn't want the focus on it. Plus, you know, there's eight matches on the card already, and like I said, last year there was eight matches. You know, it usually eight matches is pretty much, you know, where they go with this. I personally think doing it in Canada is going to be so much better. And you know what? If it's not necessarily needed on the card, there's nothing wrong with loading up a SmackDown or loading up a Raw. This card is solid from top to bottom.
I know, but you would figure, DT, like on paper, how do you leave Becky and and Trish off of a major, one of the big four pay-per-views?
I agree.
But I think there is some to, you know, it's almost like, you know, me and you are big Mets fans and you speculate why they're doing what they're doing. Some of us get it, some of us don't. Some of us say, well, down the road, these moves will make sense. But that's why, like, again, these big names, and you're like, oh, don't you, you know, cherish these names and want to do something with them? Why would you just kind of sign off on them or leave them off? Or, you know, Trish to me has not been all she could be since she's been back. And I know that her main thing is to get, what's her name, over her sidekick. What's her name? I'm
blanking
on her name, right?
Zoe Stark.
Yeah. Zoe Stark. And Becky just hasn't been the same. And it's funny, they trying to get away from the big time Becks, but her entrance, DT, with the graph is still big time Becks with the sunglasses.
Well,
They're trying to make her the man again, but the man shirts aren't selling that well.
No.
I saw a recent WWE top 10 shirts. I saw the top five where you have LA Knight and the LWO and stuff. Becky's shirt is nowhere to be found.
Yeah, but you
know, it's like, how big is the man right now, DT?
But right now, they don't have any feud for Rhea Ripley, which is disgusting. And by them, you know, waiting two extra weeks, besides, you know, the nasal stuff, you know, not breathing all that great and everything, and still.
Right.
But putting that aside, by this allows the focus of Becky to remain on Trish for two more weeks. You know, because if Becky finishes up with Trish at SummerSlam, then people immediately going to be like, oh, you know, how come they're not doing anything with Rhea Ripley? Why don't they have Becky Lynch feud with Rhea Ripley? I mean, neither one are doing anything else. Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan are not fighting right now, you know,
right.
And then that leaks in. So WWE has had this habit that I've talked about so many times that they like to milk things an extra 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks if they can do it. You know, they will delay and extend just when you think like something's going to turn the corner, they take 2, 3, 4 extra weeks to do it. And they're, you know, they're succeeding with it. So I don't think that match is necessarily needed here. I mean, they were on WrestleMania, you know, they were doing this off in Saudi, you know, it's going to happen in Canada. So it's obviously going to be an interesting vibe for Trish in Canada in Manitoba in 2 weeks. So, you know, in the end, I think it gets more focus. And you know what? If the match sucks, I'd rather it happen on Raw in Canada than on SummerSlam.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, again, there's enough TV time. There's other things that they can put people on. You can't give it all away in one shot. You got to spread it out. I agree.
Yeah.
You know, that's why certain things are left off. But I think it's you talked about it before, DT, perception. The perception of what, you know, what are they doing? Like some fans be like, you know. And I just said it just as a possibility. I'm not trying to, again, start
my own. Oh, no, I like your scenario.
Yeah, I'm not trying to say that. You know, oh, they took a look at it. But it's possible that they're like, yeah, this feud is really not all. Maybe we should, you know, and we already have enough matches. Let's put this on such and such, give Trish a little more time.
I think that's definitely part of it.
I think there's always some little bit of truth to both sides of it.
Listen, if it was must-see, can't miss, it'd be on.
Right.
They would find a way, unless Trish really is having problems with the breathing and the sight, you know, the eye. Because, you know, you have a busted nose, you re-aggravate it. You know, your eyes water, you get blind as a bat. And I'm exaggerating a little bit, but, you know, I like I said last night, how much is her issue with her nose going to improve in 2 weeks? I can't see it improving all that much. So,
yeah.
All right, that leaves 3 matches. And, you know, these are intriguing because the outcome may be a little bit predictable in 2, maybe all 3 matches. But, you know, let's get into them. Seth Rollins defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Finn Balor. The storyline is Finn Balor, 7 years. Kev, we're supposed to forget about all the success Finn has had over the last 7 years. It's been 7 years of fucking misery, buried trauma, pain, scars. And he wants to give that back to Seth Rollins. Does Finn Balor have any shot of becoming World Heavyweight Champion at SummerSlam?
Yes, and here's my prediction, and I could be wrong, could be right.
All right.
He does beat him, and then Damian Priest cashes in and beats Finn Balor quickly.
Wow.
Damian Priest is getting this title at SummerSlam. I am positive of it. Even you could say, well, look what happened the other night in Raw. Doesn't mean anything. Damian Priest ate the pin. Seth Rollins curbs on Finn. Tag team match, not a singles match, doesn't mean anything. Just like everyone keeps harping to me that Roman Reigns technically was beaten by Jay already. It was a fucking tag team attraction match. Nothing was on the line. Doesn't mean anything. I could tell you a million times how Ric Flair was pinned in NWA tag team matches, and he was the NWA champion, and Ricky Morton beat him 15 times in a tag match, and it didn't mean shit. So you can say that all night long. Damian Priest getting pinned on Monday means nothing. He is going to cash in. Also, let's be honest, again, there was chicanery that went down with that, too. I never thought, you know, he held on to the briefcase. They did it pretty good. And then he got hit with the briefcase. Damian Priest is right now mad at Finn Balor. And I think he leaves Judgment Day or even doesn't even leave. He just says, listen, it's business, not personal. But Finn is the one who feels that Judgment Day let him down. I think Damian stays in Judgment Day and is a heel champion, and Finn becomes a babyface. That's just all. I just believe that's. Yeah, it sounds crazy, but it also sounded crazy for Cody Rhodes not to win WrestleMania, and he didn't.
I am not.
That's my prediction. I think Damian Priest, and it goes by the business thing. He doesn't want to do it, but it's Finn Balor who takes it personally. I think Finn wins the belt. Damian Priest cashes in and beats him. I just have this feeling.
I am going to tweak your scenario. I don't necessarily, not saying that I'm going to go with it. I have to actually, like, it's just entered my head. So I'm going to say it. And after I say it, I'll, like, hear myself saying it, and then I'll think to myself, is this a good idea or not? But I'm going to tweak your scenario.
Okay.
What if Seth Rollins is having the match with Finn Balor? Finn Balor ends up laying out Seth Rollins, And right before Finn Balor, or he lands the coup de grace or something to Seth Rollins, Damian Priest throws Finn Balor out of the ring or nails Finn Balor and then cashes in the briefcase. Or Finn Balor and Seth Rollins, there's some part of the match where they're both laid out. And while the referee is counting, Damian Priest decides he's going to cash in the briefcase. They ring the bell, and with Seth Rollins and Finn Balor both knocked out, Damian Priest gets the win.
I can see that happening too, but we're in agreement that somehow at the end of this match, Damian Priest is
No. I'm not in agreement. I love your scenario. I don't know necessarily if Finn Balor actually defeats Seth. I could see more Damian Priest taking advantage of what Finn Balor. Seth, yeah, like Seth Finn Williams. Balor. Yeah, he lays out Seth. And then Damian shows up and says, yeah, you know what? I'll finish this off. And he screws. My gut feeling is that Seth Rollins and Finn Balor are going to have an outstanding match. Damian Priest is going to be at ringside. Then there's going to be a point in the match where Seth Rollins is laid out and Finn Balor is doing what he's doing. And Damian Priest sees an opportunity and maybe teases that he's going to cash in, and Finn Balor's like, what the fuck are you doing? You know, I mean, he's not going to curse. And I think there's going to be that argument, and that's going to allow Seth Rollins to hit the curb stomp on Finn Balor and retain the championship. I don't think Damian Priest will actually cash in, but I think something's going to happen where Damian is seriously thinking about cashing in, and Finn Balor gets in the face of Damian Priest, and they argue, and then Seth, similar to Raw's outcome, I almost feel like Raw's finish, you know, where Finn was a little hesitant to give Damian the briefcase, I think that might have been a trial run for something a little bit deeper at SummerSlam. I'm going to go with Seth to retain, but I'm not going to lie. I love your scenario about Damian Priest screwing Finn Balor, because I don't know if you saw my Abbey Road album cover spoof that I did.
Yeah, I did. I saw. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
I mean, I put Damian Priest with the briefcase. I put Dominic with the North American Championship, Rhea with the Women's Championship, and Finn Balor with a brown paper bag.
Yeah, no, I think there is something to that, because if you notice even Finn's meltdowns of I deserve this and me and stuff. Yep. Now people even saying they can see Damian being the baby face, but no, I for some reason I think that this can transfer Finn back to maybe the reality where he becomes a baby face, because realizing that life has not been good since he turned bad, all these bad things have happened. Maybe he can see the light, maybe not. Maybe he can, Chris Fury was saying, I know put an LOL next to it, but Chris, maybe you could be right, that Finn breaks away with his pal J.D. McDonough and forms some sort of new faction. That's possible, maybe. Yeah. I mean, J.D. McDonough is MIA right now. Yeah. I don't know why. Maybe he does play into that.
He's
maybe
main eventer.
There could be. The thing I like about this, DT, is that there's so many possibilities that it's not like put all your eggs in one basket. Someone saying this Seth's injuries in his recent interview talking about that he's got a lot wrong with him play into this.
Yes.
You know, that will. I mean, Seth just won it. Does he really need a break again from wrestling?
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely one thing I think we all agree on is that briefcase will come into play.
In some way,
shape, or form, that briefcase and Damian Priest are absolutely coming into play with this match. But I think whichever scenario it ends up, I think those are great scenarios. And it makes the match, what I love about it is it really makes you think about the match. It's not just clear cut that, oh, this person's going to win and this person's going to win. There are so many ways they could go with this. And you know what? If Damian Priest screws Finn Balor, you know, Seth Rollins, the out is that Seth wasn't prepared to face Damian Priest, and Damian Priest took an opportunity with Seth. You know, it doesn't make Seth look weak in any way.
Right.
So, all right. Next, you want to cover Cody Brock or Roman J?
Let's go with Cody and Brock first.
Okay. Cody Rhodes, Brock Lesnar 3. And I watched about 75% of the American Nightmare becoming Cody Rhodes. I watched it last night, but it was so late that I fell asleep during it. Did you see the documentary yet?
Yes, I saw it yesterday. I watched the whole thing yesterday. I loved it. I think if you don't like or love Cody Rhodes at the moment, watch that documentary, and a lot more things will come into play of why he left, what he was going through, beyond his father's death and his father's influence, other things about him. I thought it was a very good WWE does a great job with documentaries. I've never watched a documentary that I didn't like from WWE, not because I'm on with everything's great in WWE. No, it's not. The one thing that they do right, though, is docs. The production, the interviews, the candidness of the people they interview. I don't think it's like this big fucking waxwork of corporate bullshit and political correctness. And again, Triple H upset the apple cart. AEW,
oh yeah, saying, I did see that.
It's nobody's dream. Listen, and he said it very candidly, and he wasn't wrong, and he wasn't taking a shot at AEW. It's not Cody's dream, nor is it anyone's dream who grew up as WWE fan, a foundation that's set for decades. The dream of that wrestling fan is to win the title, not a secondary company that opens up and has their own title. That's not the dream. And he's not wrong. And especially from Cody's generation, with Cody, the way he grew up and stuff like that. So, I mean, again, everyone's like, oh, that's a cheap shot. It's not a cheap shot. It's a fact. You know, it's a fucking fact that it's a secondary title. Will kids growing up today who are now 10, 11 in amateur wrestling, whatever, say, my dream is to win the AEW title like my hero CM Punk or MJF? Okay, but the majority, we're talking about majority here, not a small minority, the majority of fans and historians and enthusiasts, the dream would be to win the WWE championship.
This is how I look at it. And this is such an outdated reference, but I'm only bringing it up because I actually was talking to somebody about this baseball player the other day. Remember when Darryl Strawberry had all his problems and then he played briefly for the Birmingham Barons?
Of course, okay. Yeah.
All right. There's nobody that is an aspiring baseball player that's going to say, no, I don't want to go to the Major League Baseball. I don't want to go to the majors. I want to win a championship with the Birmingham Barons.
Exactly.
You know, say that people who know they can't get to the major leagues,
or maybe they can't get back, right.
Or can't get back, or don't want to put in the work to become a major leaguer. Right. Some people may be content to be with the Birmingham Barons. What Triple H was basically the point across is that someone who eats, sleeps, shits wrestling and someone who really is looking to become the top of their game in everything that they do, they aspire to go to WWE. It turns people into legends and icons and everything else. Those who want to aspire to become AEW champion, there is nothing wrong with that. But if anyone out there in their right mind thinks that AEW is not a secondary company, these are very, very fragile, you know, people who have to have their egos stroked. That's why everything has to be unbelievable, amazing, incredible, earth-shattering. I'm shaking. The hairs of my arms are lifted. This is the greatest match ever, the greatest match in 10 years, the greatest tag team match in the last decade. Everything's got to be the greatest ever because they can't just accept the fact that AEW is a great number two option. It's not the number one option. You look at revenue, you look at everything across the board. And yes, they have one event overseas, get 80,000 tickets. And remember, the Dave Meltzer's of the world, I have the tweet still, that 30,000 would be considered a huge success. And I showed that picture of, I think it was Cardi B or somebody at Wembley, and I'm like, no, 30,000 would suck. That would be a disaster. You want to go. These people are content with whatever they're given. That's why people online, they either make excuses for AEW or they gush. They never talk about how things could go to the next level. Things should go. No, 500,000 on Collision, 700,000 on Collision is not enough. We want a million. We want 2 million. We want 3 million. If you make $50,000, no, I want to make $100,000. You don't see that incentive that I got to do more. I got to get bigger. I got to be. And that's pretty much what the deal is with Cody Rhodes. That documentary, even though I didn't watch the entire thing, I nodded off right after the Triple H comment. They were showing the little AEW stuff, and you know he talked about why he left. But I'll say this: that documentary was made to show that Cody Rhodes, how important he is, how big of a star he is. You do not lose to Brock Lesnar in the trifecta in the SummerSlam match. you don't go to WrestleMania 40 without finishing the story. You don't do all of this to have Cody not finish the story. The only way Cody Rhodes does not finish the story with Roman Reigns is if Roman gets injured. That
exactly.
is the only, or if Cody gets injured. That's the only way that doesn't happen. I see people reporting that Bray Wyatt is going to be the next feud for Cody Rhodes. And while I don't have any issue with it, that would be a major fucking step down to go from Brock for the last 3-4 months into the fall, into the Royal Rumble, and his next roadblock is Bray Wyatt?
Yeah, but DT, you know what it is? They got to give him something to do in the meantime to the Royal Rumble, right? And I listen, if they want to feed him, if they want to feed him Bray Wyatt, that's great, because then everyone could look back and go, Cody beat Seth, Cody beat Bray Wyatt, Cody beat Brock Lesnar, Cody beat The Miz, Cody beat... We can go up and down the line and go, Cody's beat them all. Now it's time to get back. Now he's earned that to get... you guys got to watch the documentary. If you're not on board that Cody is the guy to beat Roman, then I don't know what to tell you guys. Yeah. Even if you're not a Cody supporter, even if you're kind of half on the fence about him, you will either love him or at least like him and definitely respect him after you watch this documentary. I guarantee it. And you will leave it saying, nope, LA Knight is not the guy. None of the, Drew McIntyre is not the guy. Cody's the guy to beat Roman Reigns. That's what you're going to take from this 2-hour documentary. It is 2 hours, by the way, but it goes by pretty fast. Yeah. And it's so chock full of stuff. The Dusty stuff is so emotional.
Yeah.
It really is, man. It's a great doc. And yeah, I mean, that's what's going to come of that. But getting back to the match, circling back, I think Brock has been a great fucking heel. I think Brock has been, you know, people saying, I don't know, Kev, do you like the fact that Brock is just beating the shit out of him every week? Does that make Cody look bad? No, it doesn't. It's kind of a Rocky Balboa, Mr. T thing going on there. You know, kind of when you're like, you know, what Cody almost should even say, I am afraid of Brock Lesnar. Like, remember when Rocky was like, I'm afraid. Yeah. He was afraid of Mr. T. Because
I'm afraid.
Yeah, because Brock is a Brock. I've never seen Brock in my now what 20 something years seeing him. So, even when he first came in with Heyman and beat up the Hardys in his debut, he has never been more intimidating to me. Or maybe if you agree with me, DT, than he is right now. He's never been more intimidating. I think he's 46, but he is he is someone to still fear in a work or a shoot. He's the real deal. He's just massive, and he just doesn't give a fuck. And you know that his demeanor is so indifferent to almost human life, let alone animal life. The guy is just he's a beast. He comes as advertised. It's not just a gimmick. Lesnar would beat the shit out of Cody Rhodes in real life, and he would beat the shit out of 99.9% of the roster. Only exception is maybe a young Undertaker, but he is that guy. So Cody getting beat down by the toughest guy in wrestling? Well, you know, like DT, I'd have a problem if every week Dolph Ziggler beat up Cody Rhodes. I have a problem with that, because I'm like, really? Brock, is that guy. That's why it's building and building and building, where you're like, I'm sick of seeing, I saw it last night, everyone's like, I am literally sick of seeing Cody on his back for this fucking guy. Great, now you want to see him get his comeuppance, and you'll be on your feet. Right, you'll be cheering when he finally beats him. That's the whole point. They want you to be sick. Cody's getting beaten up every week. This is getting ridiculous. Right, and then he'll get his comeuppance on that match. That's the story.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, right, DT, if there's a guy who you're going to believe gets the best of Cody in every situation in these brawls, Cody's got to find a way to beat him and put him down for good.
Would they rather it be Bronson Reed? You know, like.
Exactly. Brock is that guy. He's still that guy at Brock, 46.
Brock has decades of instilling fear in people. And that motherfucker is scary, scary, scary. Plus, you know how his livelihood outside, you know, that's someone you don't fuck with. So when you have that person doing this to Cody as well, let me put it this way. Let's go opposite for a second. If Cody was getting the best of Brock a lot more Something tells me that people would start complaining and saying, this is fucking Brock Lesnar. This is the UFC guy. This is the guy that's been instilling fear for 20 years and destroying everybody. And they're trying to put up, make us believe that Cody could get the best of him week in and week out and keep punking his ass out on Raw. This kind of sucks. I can't buy into that. Are we supposed to believe that Cody, Brock should retire? Brock should go back to where, to his home and hunt. You know, like, you complain either way. So, yeah, of course Brock should be the one. He's a fucking monster. Yeah. It's a monster. That is the boogeyman. This is the boogeyman. And the boogeyman will scare you 9 times out of 10. And then that one time, you finally, when it matters the most, you dig deep and you overcome. I fucking love Brock Lesnar the last couple of years because it no longer feels like he's showing up just to get a paycheck and going home. It feels like he's kind of enjoying having fun. He's having fun. And whether people want to admit it or not, that motherfucker sells for other people. He sold for Omos. He sold for Roman. He sold for Cody before. That guy sold for Bobby Lay. That guy sells. It's not like, you know, like when people like, oh, you know, Charlotte don't sell for nobody. Charlotte should never sell. She don't sell. Brock Lesnar sells. And
he put Goldberg over those two matches, those two comeback matches, real quick. I mean, no, I don't think Brock is a sell. Brock is not a selfish guy, and he's not all about he has to get the best. I'm sure he even knows that, you know, and I'm sure they told Brock, you know, just beat him up every week and make like Cody's just this thorn in your side who you just can't put down and get rid of. That's part of the story. Listen, no one, Cody's never been booked as a badass. He's not a tough guy. Dusty was tough, but Dusty was like the common man tough. But Cody's not a badass. You know what I'm saying? The only guy you expect to match badassery with Brock Lesnar is Undertaker.
Yeah.
Who else is there in the company? Maybe if they build Cross up the right way, they can build up a guy like Cross as a total legitimate badass because he can be. Yeah. But as far as legitimacy, there's Undertaker and there's Brock Lesnar. Yeah. Everybody else is just puts up a fight.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm more intimidated by Brock Lesnar. Nothing against Undertaker, but I'm intimidated more by Brock Lesnar because Brock Lesnar, he'll fucking skin me and barbecue me.
Well, yeah, just like, and in today's day and age, in fairness, you know, Taker's got 10 years on Brock Lesnar. Sure. But Brock is 46. But again, just, I've never seen him more dangerous, in my opinion, as far as in wrestling. So I told, doesn't matter. He got pinned by Roman Reigns. Yeah, it took last year, we just discussed it, DT. It took the whole bloodline and a ring being moved up by a fucking, by a fucking truck and all sorts of chicanery to finally put Brock down. Wow. You know what I mean? So come on. I'm fine with him constantly beating Cody as long as Cody gets the big win tomorrow. And they make Cody work for it.
Yeah.
Some sort of roll-up the way Kerry Von Erich rolled up Ric Flair for the 1-2-3. You know what I mean?
This will be a wild brawl.
Yeah, I want to see him. Like, maybe even, I think there'll be blood in this match, DT, with Cody and Brock?
I don't know if it actually needs it. I think we'll definitely have, you know, chairs and maybe the table and stuff like that. I don't think it necessarily will need blood. I think it needs physicality. I think there needs to be a lot of physicality, not necessarily to focus on wrestling. This has got to be like anger. This has got to be a lot of abuse, a lot of intimidation.
Agreed.
It's gonna be really good. So, but so we agree. Cody will advance. Now I got the magic question because there's only one name that sticks in my craw, and I don't think it's gonna happen. But I have to express it. Who would you put up with Cody next leading into the fall, since the bloodline will still have some more infighting that could trickle into Solo Sikoa? Jimmy Uso will end up being brought into the mix. Who would you want next feuding with Cody Rhodes? Because for me, only one name comes to mind where I think it does not come across as a step down.
Who?
Randy Orton.
Oh,
I think Randy Orton, who is a Hall of Famer, if he came back and hit Cody with an RKO out of nowhere, I think immediately people be like, what the fuck? You know, like Randy comes back instant heel. Mm-hmm. Randy's physique, Cody's physique, very similar. Yeah. Their family background, having legendary fathers.
Being in legacy together.
I think all of that, I don't think anybody would think Randy Orton coming back and taking out Cody, and that leads to a feud leading into the fall. I don't think anybody would consider that a step down. I think people would be like, why? Why did Randy do that? Which is fine. I mean, listen, the people out there that just want to criticize WWE, they're still stuck on, why did Brock turn on Cody in the first place? Why did Brock never expect? Because Brock just felt like fucking with Cody.
He felt like, exactly.
Yeah.
Bullies
don't have plans. And
no, you don't have a tangible excuse. Why did Brock push fucking Gowen down the steps? You know what I'm saying? Why did he fuck with a one-legged man? Yeah. You know, why did Brock do a lot of things? I mean, I don't need an answer. I to tell you the truth, DT, there's a lot of feuds over the years.
I don't want a logical answer.
DT, I can't remember why Tommy Rich and Buzz Sawyer had that feud. I don't know what happened. I know that they feuded for a year in Atlanta.
Brock never explained why. Maybe when he writes a book one day, everyone.
Maybe he's saving it for the book.
You know what?
DT.
Guys, when Brock does one of those Undertaker things, those Q&As when he's 60 years old, on the stage, you could pay $250 and say, hey, Brock, how come you attacked Cody after WrestleMania?
DT, wouldn't it be great if Brock just said, you want to know why I attacked Cody? Because it's in the fucking script.
Because
Vince and Bruce wrote it.
God.
That would be pretty funny if Brock said
I stole Karrion Kross's tarot cards and Cody's card came up.
Exactly. I got Scarlett to read Tony's card. An excuse in wrestling is it's going to be scripted anyway. So what's the excuse?
I you know what? In hindsight, I wish Byron Saxton or somebody would have interviewed Brock and said, "Why did you attack Cody?" And he just looks at the camera because I felt like it.
Oh my god!
I like it. Better yet, because I don't like him.
I don't like him. Yeah, something like that. So simple.
I didn't like your father. I don't like you.
That's. I mean, really? I mean, that's what they. Someone wants.
I don't like
some
your brother.
Sort of like,
I don't like anybody.
They think this is like Scream 6. Like there's some plot line. Like why is the killer
god,
doing
it? Sports entertainment.
Overthinking it, and they because he just didn't say. Oh, is he jealous because Cody got pushed to the top card? Okay, yeah, let's go with that. Okay, yeah. I'm jealous.
You know what? Go to the SummerSlam press conference, the post media scrum, and ask Triple H. Hey, you know, we're still waiting for an answer. Why did Brock originally attack Cody?
Oh my God. Brock would probably go up his face and scream, Mark.
Okay. So I'm going to have to splice that part for the beginning. Just to set the tone for what we're getting into today. That'll be the opening.
Be great.
Little warning for everybody. All right. So the main event. Well, one of four main events. Honestly, I think there's like five or six main events on this card. We have Roman Reigns against Jey Uso. Not only is it for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship, it is also for recognition of Tribal Chief, and it is Tribal Combat.
Tribal Combat, Kev, yeah.
When I heard them talk about Tribal Combat and the Elders, I immediately thought of Star Trek 1968.
Wow.
Remember when Spock was in Heat? And he had the big fight with Captain Kirk over the woman. And
Lord.
Like, I feel like we're going to get the Elders at ringside. I feel we may see some special Samoan garb. I think we might see some Samoan-themed weapons. We may have face paint. What do you think Tribal Combat is going to be? I mean, when you think Tribal, you think like me walk around with no clothes, me walk with no shoes, me smell like armpits. Like Tribal is like prehistoric. Tribal is back before people were not civilized. Do you feel like this has to be an uncivilized? Remember that old antipersonal Hulk Hogan? Remember anything else is uncivilized. Like this has to be uncivilized war.
What was that? Was that Gillette or Menin? What was that?
Arid Extra Dry?
Oh, was it?
Or it might have been Menin. I'll look it up.
Maybe it was Menin, yeah. This tribal thing, I'm thinking we could probably see maybe Alpha Seeker, Rikishi, like a bunch of the elders, so to speak, possibly.
Right guard. Sure we were all wrong. It was right guard.
Yeah, right guard. Thanks, guys. I think that we're going to see the elders. I don't know how this is going to play out. Maybe we'll even see why. No, well, we can't see. It's Jimmy that's married to Naomi, right? Not Jay.
Yes.
So maybe we can see Jay's wife or Roman's wife, something like that. Maybe we can see family people, literally. Maybe they're gathering in the back and they have the whole family back there watching on a monitor or something. I don't know how this is going to go. But I do, you know, if we're doing just predictions right off the bat, I don't think there's any chance Jay beats Roman Reigns at all. Right. There'll be, again, we talk about chicanery. There has to be chicanery in the bloodline thing. It's part of the whole thing. They say, well, Roman Reigns for once can win a clean win. Well, he's beaten Jay before with a clean win, if you remember, in the early stages of him and Heyman together. Mm-hmm. He can beat Jay. Yeah, he doesn't need help beating Jay. Will he have help beating Jay? Possibly. People are talking about, is there a chance that we could see a Jacob Fatu or a fucking Lance Hanoi or any sort of, I don't know. But I mean, people are just, again, on wish list. You know, we can go on and on with the bloodline. Does Jimmy come back and turn on Jay all of a sudden? Possibly. Does Solo turn fan favorite? That I don't think we're going to see. I don't think Solo turns babyface against Reigns. I'm not sure, but I don't know how it's going to go down. But overall, I think Roman Reigns gets a clean victory over Jey Uso. What goes from there? What transpires from there? Is Jey banished from the Samoan tribe? I don't know. I just think it's interesting. It's so hard to guess bloodline stuff. I was much better off guessing the Judgment Day situation with Seth Rollins than I am the bloodline. One thing I do know is that Roman Reigns is retaining that title.
Yeah.
And he's going to win that match. That's what I do know. I can't even guess the amount of Rikishi for his sons. All these things happen. Jimmy turning on Jay, though, DT, would be like, well, wait a minute. Jimmy started all this stuff 2 months ago. Already he turns?
Yeah.
So would you not want to see that, DT? Would you not? Do you not want to see anybody?
I do not want to see Jimmy Uso turn. No. No.
Right.
Did Jimmy Uso have
a chance of any new guys coming into the mix?
No, no. I mean, it's we need advancement. We don't need complications. And,
right.
You know, Jacob Fatu, I mean, it took, put it this way, I think people forgot, it took a while before Solo Sikoa fit in really, really well. Yeah. They're not going to reintroduce, you know, Jacob Fatu, where nobody pretty much knows who he is, and then you got to start redoing that. And then how does he fit in with Solo Sikoa still in the group? To me, I don't see it. To me, you keep it simple. You keep the main subjects involved. Jimmy Uso will be involved in this match. Jimmy Uso will not turn on Jay. Jimmy Uso's been in the bloodline for the last couple of years. To have him just go right back in the bloodline would be kind of ridiculous. Jay Uso going out on his own, I don't see it. You know, the people online with the I literally want to throw up every time I see this. They'll put something out there that only people on life support who are brain dead would think about it. And then they always write after it, hear me out. Like they're showing Jey Uso with the championship, hear me out. They show Sami Zayn at Elimination Chamber with the belt, hear me out. Like, no, I don't want to hear you out. It's stupid. They're not having Jey Uso dethrone Roman Reigns before Cody Rhodes does. Jey Uso will put up a fucking fight. There will be fuckery. Solo Sikoa will get involved. The elders, I don't know how much they're going to be involved with it. They'll probably just sit there like Helen Hart used to do, you know, just a little bit more menacing looking. But I think there will be a moment where Jimmy Uso comes out and they tease that Jimmy Uso may turn on his brother, but he obviously goes after Roman Reigns. I think Solo Sikoa bails Roman Reigns out one more time. I think Roman ends up with the victory, and then it's going to focus on the fact that without Solo Sikoa, Roman would not have retained that championship. And then you can kind of lead that if it wasn't for Solo, Roman would not be champion right now. And then that could lead to a little dissension with Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa, and then eventually you and I talked about the possibility of them doing a fatal four-way later on in the year. Still think that is very possible. Roman versus Jimmy versus Jay versus Solo.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, this is going to take up Reigns' time for the rest of the year. It'll go to Survivor Series, and just think of the theme and the concept of Survivor Series, right, DT?
Yeah.
Some sort of thing again with the Bloodline, Reigns, Last Man Standing. Then we go into January. Like I said, not skipping too much ahead, but the future, however which way he gets there is Cody. But the remainder of 2023, Reigns continues to put his Bloodline guys in check, and if he's got to take on every one of them, including maybe Solo Sikoa at the Survivor Series. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe the four of them face each other in Survivor Series in a fatal four-way. And Reigns comes out of it. Again, take your break for Christmas. And then here we go in January, and the story continues with Cody. That's the way this is going to play out. And listen, it's interesting. It's inner fighting between the Bloodline, and it just prolongs Reigns' title reign and records. And it's all for the greater good for the company.
I think for now it's safe to say that the Bloodline infighting will have to go into Survivor Series, which is November.
Yes.
And Cody Rhodes, whoever he feuds with next, whether it's Randy Orton or someone else, that will have to go into November as well.
Yep.
I don't think they should do the simple three-match deal like they did with Brock. Although, Kev, if you remember, back in the old school days, the trifecta is usually what would happen. You have the regular match, then you would have like kind of like a no DQ or something added to it, and then you would culminate with the cage match or, you know, the final encounter. You know, back in the day, it was a little bit different. You know, when you have Backlund with the stranglehold with the championship, even Hogan with the championship. But, and we're saying WWF because we're Northeast guys here.
Yeah, of course.
But, so I think Cody, whoever he feuds with next, he'll have to lead that into November. And then once we get the Survivor Series, however that ends up, who knows? We may have Team Cody versus Team Roman at Survivor Series, and then it leads to the Royal Rumble, and then he has to win the Royal Rumble to get a shot back at Roman Reigns. And, you know, one thing I think we will also all agree on is that they're going to milk a lot of this shit. Like, you're not going to see as quick of a progression in a lot of things. Like, one week, Jimmy will be mad. And then the next week, Jay will be mad. And then the week after, will Jimmy be mad at Jay? And then the week after that, will Jay be... Like, they will milk extra weeks with this. They are going to milk this quite a bit. But we both agree, no shot Jey Uso is champion.
No, no shot.
No chance.
No chance in hell.
Yeah. Outside of Roman Reigns and Jey Uso, which match are you looking forward to the most? Which match are you looking forward to the least? And the reason why I say that is because I think that is a harder decision for people. Not necessarily the match they want to see the most, but the match they want to see the least. Because outside of Roman and Jey, I want to see Cody versus Brock more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, what match do I want to watch the least? And I kind of gravitate to Asuka, Charlotte, and Bianca Belair.
I was just going to say that. That's my pick, too. No no shit. That's my pick, too, because I was just going to say, you know, one of the matches I'm looking forward to the most sounds crazy because I've bagged on these two for a while, but not in recent weeks because I like what I've been seeing, Shayna and Ronda.
Yeah.
And I think that they are going to put on a good match, and there's going to be some sort of emotional moment that people will go back and watch and go, gotta admit, that was pretty good. Ronda put in a good effort there. But yeah, DT, if I had to pick the match the least, it's going to be that one. What you just said, I was just going over the matches in my head. I'm like, no, no, no. So yeah, we're in agreement pretty much like 99% on this pay-per-view.
Yeah. I think, and I guess I could say this on my end in closing. You look at this card up and down, and I'm not just saying this. I would have to go back, and yes, there are definitely much more important matches in the history of SummerSlam. But as far as a card from 1 to 8, this might be the strongest SummerSlam card in history. But that'll be up for debate. But I will say this, though. If the least anticipated match is Asuka versus Charlotte versus Bianca Belair, that tells you how strong this card is, because that's three of the top women in the last 15 years minimum in all of women's wrestling, and they're still at the top of their game. And if that's the least anticipated, that shows you how good this card is.
Right, that's true. Yeah. I agree.
All right, Kev, any closing comments before we wrap it up?
No, I'm looking forward to this. I mean, I am not going to be available to do the, you know, I do want to do a SummerSlam lead cap, but I'm not available till the Tuesday if you want to hold off.
Yeah, we can
or
do
if you
Tuesday.
Plan on doing one on Saturday night. I can't do it Saturday night, but I am available Sunday and Monday and Tuesday if you're interested in
doing
that.
Maybe we'll do one Sunday. We'll see.
Sunday, yeah, if you want to do Sunday, I could do it Sunday. I could definitely do it Sunday.
Okay. All right.
Saturday
so, yeah.
It's a little hard for me, though.
All right. Yeah, that works. So we could do it. You know, we'll figure out like a good, comfortable time where, you know, we could sit back, relax, and do it. Maybe we'll do it like early the evening, mid evening. We'll see. I'll talk to you later.
Work. Yeah, so, yeah, we'll talk about it. But yeah, if you want to hear it, yeah, Sunday, I can definitely commit to that. Whatever time it is, I'm down.
Okay. That works. Kev, enjoy your SummerSlam.
And yes, enjoy SummerSlam. I'll see you go all on Sunday.
Yeah, and this Thursday, are you doing K&T this Thursday or is it Castle Chronicles Thursday?
I think I'm doing Castle Chronicles, and Trez might just stop on to give her Ecuador
experience
for a month, being there for a month, because even she, I don't think she planned to be there that long. She was there literally a month. So I think I'm going to have her come on just to talk about that, and then I'll have her back on just to not to throw off the rotation. So this week will be Castle Chronicles with a guest appearance by Trez.
Okay.
And then the following week we'll be back to K&T.
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
All right, dude.
I'll talk to you later this week.
Yes.
All peace. The best. All right, everybody. I want to thank you all for joining us for this SummerSlam preview and predictions, and then some, because we're already looking into the latter part of 2023 and see where this goes. I'm really curious what you all think as far as SummerSlam, what your predictions are. Are you in line with what we're thinking? What do you think about Seth versus Finn? Could that scenario happen with Damian Priest? That is a great scenario that Kev came up with. Will there be any titles changing at SummerSlam? That's something to think about, too. May not. You almost feel like one has to change. But I truly believe this might be the strongest card ever. Were there other matches that were more important and maybe even better quality? Absolutely. But as far as a card from beginning to end, this is solid. Some people may even, if the matches deliver as we think they're going to deliver, I do not be surprised if some people turn around and say, you know what, this SummerSlam card was better than a night one or a night two of WrestleMania. That's how strong this card looks to me. But anyway, for everybody who was tuning in, we didn't discuss this, obviously, before we went live, but it looks like Kevin and I will be doing a SummerSlam review. Now, I don't want to confirm the Sunday date yet. I will talk to Kev about that. The thing is that if we do a Sunday show, it is not going to be a YouTube video thing. So it may have to go the same format of what we do here on Tuesdays. One thing is for certain, the review will be online for everyone, but let me go over it with Kev and talk about that Sunday, and we'll decide if we're going to do it either Sunday or if we do it Tuesday. My gut feeling is we'll do it Sunday, and maybe we'll record that instead of the sit-down show. I don't know. I will keep everybody abreast. Just follow my social media. I'm only on Twitter. I don't mingle on Facebook anymore. I will definitely post something in Patreon so everybody knows about it, especially if we end up doing a live stream Sunday. And I will definitely post something in the YouTube community section. So even though it's not a YouTube show, we do post updates in the community section because that's an easy place for everybody to go to. Plus, you don't have to be a subscriber in order to see the posts. So, you know, there's not many places that we could really post updates like that. So Twitter, YouTube, Patreon, you'll know when and where we're going to do the SummerSlam review. But I hope you all enjoy SummerSlam. If you're a member of our YouTube channel family, channel members, or Patreon, we will do predictions contests. You'll win some cash. The threads will be up probably Thursday, and you'll have until Saturday afternoon, probably lunchtime, to get your entries in. So, everyone, enjoy SummerSlam. I think this is going to be a kick-ass show, And we'll definitely talk about it. Be well, everybody. Much love. Talk to you all soon.
Yes. That was cool. Yeah.